Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me, Rob McConnell, as together we'll investigate the world of the paranormal and the science of parapsychology here on the X-Zone Radio TV show on XZBN and the X-Zone TV channel on Simul TV. Since 1990, the X-Zone Radio TV show has been the place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. Together, we'll investigate UFOs, aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic phenomenon, lake monsters, conspiracy theories, government cover-ups, the truth embargo, alien abductions, ESP, haunted locations from around the world, and so much more. With over 28 years of broadcasting and more than 4,500 individual guests, the X-Zone is truly a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality, as evidenced by the credibility, integrity, and professionalism of the guests that we bring to our international audience. If you have seen a UFO, had a close encounter, seen a ghost, Bigfoot, lake monster, or a story that you would like to share or have investigated, contact me, Rob McConnell, by sending me your email to xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, or you can call toll-free 1-800-610-7035, extension 143, and on Skype, X-Zone Radio TV. For more information on the X-Zone Radio TV show with yours truly, Rob McConnell, visit www.xzoneradiotv.com or www.xzonetvchannel.com or simultv.com and xzbn.net. Until next we meet here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, always remember, X-Zone Nation, keep your eyes to the sky and your heart in the light.
The X-Zone Radio Show with Rob McConnell is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X-Zone Radio Show or endorsed in any manner by Rob McConnell, Realmar McConnell Media Company, the X-Zone Broadcast Network, its affiliated networks, stations, employees, or advertisers.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
And it's another day here in the X-Zone. I am Rob McConnell. We're coming to you from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to find out about the programming we have available for you, 724-365 on the X-Zone Broadcast Network, visit www.xzbn.net. And for the X-Zone TV channel, which is Channel 21 on Simul TV, simultv.com. My guest this hour, X-Zone Nation, is David D. Emmons, who is living in the state of Illinois. And first of all, David, welcome to the X-Zone. Tell us about a little bit about yourself.
Thank you very much, and glad to be here. Well, I have, most of my life, I've been in and out of these UFO experiences, but my regular lifestyle, I had small businesses. I was a manager of a small business, played music for 45 years in between all that time. Went to college for journalism, and I've done a little bit of radio work. And just to say, you have a nice voice.
Well, thank you, sir.
You must be a journalist yourself.
Yes, I am.
That's great. Yeah, but no, I've done some exploring on my own. Mm-hmm. I like to get into photography, so I went out west, out of Utah, Nevada, and Arizona, where I ran into a few things out there, in which I might be able to get into before the hour is up. But no, I'm the typical married guy. I'm retired now, and I love traveling. My wife and I is going to be doing some traveling, and that's part of my life, music, travel, and what else, photography and UFOs, since I've become a UFO junkie when I was 14 years of age.
Now, we also noticed in your bio that you were in the U.S. Army from 1960 to 1971, And the information you sent us was that top secret nuclear weapons training dropped that class because I did not like military intelligence interviews constantly. I was 19 years old, did not like that type of pressure, volunteered to serve in Vietnam after that. I was a platoon sergeant in a combat leader role. At the end of my duty contract, I was offered an officer commission, declined and left the Army. How does the Army fit into what you're doing, and when it comes to the UFOs and the anomalies that you've seen, are you able to use your Army experience in helping you to better understand the UFOs?
I believe so. And I guess the shock value to seeing an ET mm-hmm. and a UFO up close is probably not as shocking to me as it would be to other people. Because I've seen things and done things in my life. And that top secret thing, getting back to that, I was doing very well in a class. I just didn't like it because of I heard we was going to go to Sandia, New Mexico, and be underground and work there. And I didn't want to do that. So that was part of it, too. So I had to get the post chaplain to get me out of the class. And I guess I took all that time up to get the top secret, and I didn't use it. But it was, and when I went to Vietnam for my brother. His wife was having a baby at the time, so I figured he had got orders for Vietnam, so I went instead of him because I was single, and he's going to have a baby. So
now, when you went instead of him, did you actually trade places with your brother?
Yes, I sent my orders to his commanding officer, and I got his orders blocked. Yeah.
Oh.
So that was part of that. That's how it all ended up. And then I was offered a commission job, a lieutenant position at the end of less than 3 years, actually. But no, it trained me to, I guess, to be vigilant. It trained me to be, I guess, strong in the face of fear.
Right.
And I always wanted to go out and meet these things, these ETs or the UFOs. That I've seen five of them up close, and I've seen, I guess, a bunch of them, you know, like white orbs and things of that nature. I've seen a bunch of those, but a couple of my experiences were, I spent some time with a hybrid alien, and I say that because I can prove that.
All right, so why don't we do this? Why don't we go back to your very first encounter? I believe when you were 14 years old.
Right. There's been several encounters. So, when I was 14, my best friend and I were sitting on the steps by his house, and we smelled something that smelled like sulfur, and later on I knew it was ozone. So what we did, we went up on the road on the steps, and he got a flashlight out of his uncle's truck, and he flashed a flashlight at these lights that we were seeing coming through the neighborhood, and they were just above the treetops. And so we went up to this empty lot, and we stood there, and actually the UFO was right behind my backyard. And we stood there and looked up at this thing, and we couldn't believe what we were seeing. He was 13, I was 14. And we pinched each other to make sure that we were seeing what was there. And I was looking at the windows. There was windows on the second tier. It's kind of like one of those toy tops.
Right.
That you saw some years ago. They were kind of plump, and it had like three little rings like of plumpness, and the second ring had the light, the windows. And I was afraid somebody's going to look out of those windows. I didn't want to see the aliens. I told my buddy, I said, I hope they don't look out. I don't want to see them. At that time, I was a little bit afraid of that. Then the other thing that come to mind was that this started around 10:30 at night. It was early summer. We were out of school, and we missed some time because from 10:30 until midnight, till I got in the house and I got in trouble with my mom coming in too late. There was some missing time there. Him or I still to this day, we just talked about it 2 weeks ago. Every day time we get together, we talk about it, and we have this time that we can't nail down. Between 10:30 and midnight, I had a regressed dream, just a quick one, not very much, but I've had longer regressed dreams. But this one, it was quick. It was with me sitting on a table, looked like a stainless steel table, And I was trying to put on a shirt, and the shirt was too small. And it was actually my buddy's shirt. He was on board with me, and I was trying to put on his shirt. And then all of a sudden, I was out again. And then we found ourselves standing there in that same position. That the UFO actually moved. It was in the southwest, right above my yard. And when it took off, it took off due west. So the craft actually moved a little bit without us knowing it. And the only way I found that out is I went ahead and did a drawing of it. And that kind of brings back memories. So when I did a drawing of it, I noticed that the craft moved from one spot to the next, from southwest to west, before it just took right on off. And it was really, it just zoomed out. It didn't take off. It was gone. I mean, and then we stood there and looked at each other. Oh, wow. We got to go tell our folks. Well, I told my mom that, and she says, I told her, I saw a UFO, Mom. She goes, I'll UFO your butt, and I'll get in the house. So that was all of that. The other follow-up thing on this first sighting I had, sometimes when I got into this thing of investigating myself, mm-hmm. You got to have a follow-up, something that paranormal happens or something weird you find or whatever. Well, about a month or 2 months later, I found something in my left testicle area, and there was a little red line, like a cut, a real fine cut. It was about 3/8 of an inch long, and I looked at that, and I pushed this thing out, and it didn't hurt. I just kept pressing it out, and I got it out, and it looked like an Advil tablet, a little, like a, I guess, an M&M, actually a miniature M&M, maybe. And I took it out, put it in my palm. It was ash in color, like tan. Mm-hmm. And then it started turning dark brown. As the more I held it out in the air, it started turning brown. And I showed my mom. She said, throw that old thing away. And she said, that's probably maybe a blackhead that just got clogged up. I said, no, Mom, it's not. There was a hole cut there. And even at the time, I was 14, I even knew there was something strange about it. But at that age, and back in 63, we didn't really have that much, you know, research and UFOs, and people weren't
so whatever happened to this thing, that it was the size of an M&M, what did you do with it?
I threw it away, like my mom told me to.
Why?
I didn't know any better, and I just threw it away.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me, how did you see the red line?
I felt the little knot. It felt like a little knot first. Mm-hmm. That I felt the implant first, I guess you could call it.
Right.
I felt that first, and then I looked down, and of course I was agile at 14. I was able to see everything, so I looked down and I saw that little cut in my scrotum, and I thought, well, this is weird. You know, mm-hmm. there's something lumpy here, and there's a little cut there. I wonder what happened. So that's how I knew, and that's how I pushed it out.
All right, David, stand by. We've got to take a break. Exonation, our guest this hour is David D. Emmons, and we're talking about his UFO experiences here this hour in the Exone. And if you'd like to find out more about the Exone Broadcast Network, visit www.xzbn.net. And don't forget, the X Chronicles newspaper for May-June 2019 is now available with our compliments at www.xchroniclesnewspaper.com. The X Zone is a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard, and the X Zone Broadcast Network is a place that searches for answers but demands the truth. I'm Rob McConnell. I'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
It's hard to listen to the news without realizing we're living in volatile, unprecedented times. Yet never has there been such an opportunity to transform the human condition. As old structures fail, where can we find the guidance to co-create a better way? Find Your Path Home is an ever-evolving, leading-edge information, education, and healing resource center designed to support and guide you on your path to unity and enlightenment. Based on sound principles employed by shaman worldwide, we provide techniques that can support you through the current transitions, offering online shamanic classes, international long-distance shamanic healing sessions, complimentary Mission Evolution radio episodes and Stairway to Heaven TV vignettes, seminars, retreats, and much more. All of this can be found on findyourpathhome.com.
So I was watching the X-Zone TV channel last night when I was abducted by aliens, and they kept repeating to me over and over again, SimulTV.com, SimulTV.com.
What's SimulTV.com?
That's what I asked them. They had it written on the side of their UFO.
How do you spell that?
UFO.
No, I mean SimulTV.com.
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 Right. SimulTV.com.
Interesting that you were abducted by aliens in a SimulTV.com UFO last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I remember now last night, I was awakened from a deep sleep. My great-grandmother was standing there. She said she'd come from the hereafter to tell me about SimulTV.com. She even spelled it out for me.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, you'll never guess what my psychic guru just told me.
SimulTV.com.
Exactly. Are you guys psychic too?
Of course.
We all know about SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com.
Explanation. Our guest this hour is David Emmons, and we're talking to David about his UFO experiences. He had his first experience at the age of 14. And David, tell us about the first small gray that you saw by your bedside going back to 1996.
I think, Rob, that's the one that come to haunt me, I guess, some years later, and I'll talk about that. But yeah, I was in the bed. I was about 1:30. And my daughter was coming into our master bedroom to go to the medicine cabinet. I thought mm-hmm. that was her. And she crossed the mirror, and I hollered out her name, and she didn't answer. I hollered it out again. She didn't answer. And here walks around a little dark figure around my bedside. Well, I was on my elbow, and I was looking right in the face of this thing. And he's a little bit more uglier than the typical grays you see in the movies or in the pictures. He had some really... real bad wrinkles, deep wrinkles, and his eyes were not covered with a black patch like you see most of them.
Right.
His eyes were, he had pupils and he had whites around his eyes, and they were bigger eyes than ours, but I can tell that, he was a gray, kind of gray-green in the darkness. The mm-hmm. room was dark, but he was a gray-green in color, and he stared right at me with those big eyes. And I felt fear for about 4 seconds, 5 seconds. I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, I felt really calm, and I must have went out. And I woke up. I was looking at the time. It must have been, 30 minutes or 45 minutes later. I woke up. It was after 2. I asked my wife at the time. I said, did you hear or see anything? She goes, no, go back to sleep. And my eyes were twitching, and they were kind of had this nervous tick. I couldn't stop them from twitching. And I went in the bathroom, threw cold water in my face, and I thought, wow, what an experience that was. That was the first, first one I've seen up close like that. Mm-hmm. So that was an experience, but it didn't scare me. I was in control. Like I said, I try to always stay there in control and don't go crazy. I started asking questions, did anybody else see this or what happened this way? And I sat there and I thought to myself, what did I see? I was awake because I was trying to holler out at my daughter, and I said, well, I was awake, this is the conscious, sighting that I had. So I thought to myself, this was real. So I kind of made a note of that and went on. I didn't see or feel it. I didn't feel any implants after that or anything. I might have had an implant, but I didn't know it. But some years later, I guess I can go into this hybrid story, Rob. You want me to go into that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Some years later in 2010, this all fits together, believe me, after I'm done. In 2010, I was in Sedona, Arizona. I went out there just to take pictures and travel around. I loved doing that. I was by myself, single at the time. And I went to this gift shop there in Sedona. It was about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. And they said there was a UFO spotted over there at Cathedral Rock. And I don't know if you know Sedona there, the different rocks. This is Cathedral Rock. So I went over there, I pulled in, got my camera out, started filming, and then here comes a little white car right in behind me, really fast. And here steps out a Japanese young lady. I guess she looked like she was maybe 30-ish, mm-hmm. something like that. And she walked right over to me, and she was smiling. And I asked her, I said, are you going hiking? Or are you waiting for another group? She goes, no. She kept looking at me, smiling. And I thought this was weird, you know, a young lady approaching an older gentleman. I'm a gentleman, I guess, but she approached me that way. And I stood there, and I asked her, and I said, well, it's starting to rain. I said, you gonna leave or anything? I said, or you want to sit in the car and talk? So she sat in my car, and we talked for about an hour and a half or so. And some of the questions that she was asking me were weird. I heard about this later on, that a lot of times they try to emotionally extract, or they try to extract emotions from you.
Wait a sec. Who are they?
Hybrids. Hybrids. They're training to be humans, or they're training to be around humans. They don't know how to do the human thing totally yet. They don't have the emotions that humans do, and they want to learn those emotions. They want to learn humor. They want to learn sorrow, this type of thing. So she was extracting these emotions out of me, asking me questions that she said, what would you do with a coworker who said this to you? I said, well, I'd try to keep peace and not disturb any trouble and just leave them be. And then she started crying, a fake cry, and I put my hand on hers, and her hand was really hot. I mean, it was burning hot, and it was cool that night. And I told her, I said, are you okay? I said, you don't seem to be all right. You're burning up like a fever. She goes, no. Then a car pulled up beside me. And there was a young man in there with a headset on. He did not look at me one time, and I kept looking at him. I was watching him because that was the second time he pulled it beside us. He was about a car space over from us, so he kept a little distance. But this car and this guy kind of had me a little. If I wasn't kind of dumbed down by her, I didn't feel any fear. Because I would have probably taken some kind of action, thinking that maybe I was in a trap of some kind. So I didn't do anything. I had a license to carry a weapon, so I did have one in the car. So I looked at her, and I said, do you know him? And she looked at me and kind of funny and kind of weird. And then when I turned back around, she kind of shrunk down in the seat, and she looked like she got smaller. And I looked, and I said, what is going on? Her eyes got bigger, and then I turned back around. She got back up again like she was kind of deviating in her size, and it was kind of weird. I knew there was something strange about her, questions that she asked. She could speak, she said, 20 languages, and her name was nickname, she says, was Hiroko, or Hero, and I said, okay, how'd you get that name? She goes, I said, are you an angel? She goes, no, I'm not an angel. And every time I mentioned UFOs, well, she would just look the other way. She wouldn't say nothing or respond. And I thought that was also strange. So that night ended. She went back to her motel. I guess she went to a motel, and I went back to my lodge. And the next day I saw her, and we met for breakfast. And she said she was from Tokyo, Japan. But when she got in this restaurant, there's about 20 people standing in there. There's little things I guess you look for when you're investigating things. And she said, all these people. And I thought, if she was from Tokyo, there's millions of people crammed into that city. And there was only about 20 people in this restaurant, and she said, all these people. So it kind of looked like a little giveaway. Well, she took off that afternoon, said she had to go to down to Phoenix and then to L.A. or whatever. And she told me that she spent time at White Sands Missile Base. I said, why would a single woman go to White Sands Missile Base? She said, I wanted to see the sand. And then she told me, she said, we were supposed to meet. I said, what do you mean, we were supposed to meet? And then she said, she didn't say nothing. And then she said it the next day, that we were supposed to meet and that she had to have a baby. And I said, why a baby? And I didn't get it. Okay, to move the story 6 months ahead, March of 2011.
Whoa, hold on here. Did you have sex? Did you have sex with her?
No. Okay. No, I didn't. This was more of a father-daughter thing, Rob. It wasn't anything romantic. And I knew that, well, she didn't want it that way, and I took it that way, and I just, mm-hmm. I just played the father
All right.
role to her.
All right.
Yeah. So, well, 6 months later, I'm glad you caught me on that. I don't explain that sometimes. But 6 months later, she showed up at my house in Godfrey, Illinois.
Now, did you give her your address?
No, I didn't. We had email address we exchanged.
Okay, so it's very easy to find somebody's residence address from their email. So let's go on with this. Okay.
Okay, right. Well, there was three of them. There was two young fellows, Japanese mm-hmm. guys, and there was her. Had to be her. She didn't show her face. She stayed about 150 feet down the road from me, and she had her back turned where I couldn't see her face. The two young guys come up on the porch. I had a witness with me. My cousin was sitting with me on the front porch, and we were smoking cigars. It was a really nice day. It was mm-hmm. it was a St. Patrick's Day. These two young guys come up to my driveway, and they stood there. They're about 10 feet away from us, and they only asked one question, and it says, "Where's the new Walmart at?" And I told them, and then after that, I wanted to ask them if that was Hiroko, you know, down the road. I was dumbed down. I didn't say nothing. My cousin, who's usually loaded for bear when he meets people, I mean, he's just talkative, and sometimes he gets a little like a smart aleck sometimes. So he was dumbed down completely. And I was sitting there, and I don't know what happened after that. I really don't. What happened, we noticed them. I noticed them when they walked to the front of the road where I was at, that my road across the front of my house. But he didn't notice them until they were almost to the highway. And I said, yeah, they got together and they walked together up to a stop sign. And then we looked again and they were gone, just disappeared. We looked up and down the road and they were just gone. So that's the weird part about this whole thing.
All right, stand by. Yeah. We've got to take our news break at the bottom of the hour. And Exo Nation, when we return from the news break, we'll be back talking to our guest this hour, David D. Emmons, talking about his UFO experiences, his experience with hybrids, and much more. This is the Exo Nation. I'm Rob McConnell. We're coming to you from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. We'll be back right after this break. Don't go away.
How would your life change if you could develop the business and personal skills that you need in order to make more money? Do you want to learn how to achieve your big life goals faster? Then go to findhiddenmoney.com and get the Goal For It online course. The course teaches you how you can set and achieve your biggest goals while completely overcoming the roadblocks to your goals so that you can realize your dreams and imagine more success. Go to findhiddenmoney.com.
Memorable dynamic presentations are a not-so-secret weapon in the business world. Do you have a powerful message that must be shared, but you haven't found a way to deliver that message? Do you want to be known as a top public speaker who gets amazing results? Are you ready to create and deliver your powerful message? Thomas Hides can help you create and deliver your speech to get the results you desire. Visit iconquality.com.
Did you expect your business to flourish, but instead it plateaued or didn't get off the ground yet? Would you like to achieve massive goals and discover new sources of income within your business? When you're ready to experience that type of success with fast results, Cindy Hendricks is the business coach for you. Her work with entrepreneurs and business owners has been life-changing. To get you and your business where you want to be, go to imaginemoresuccess.com.
Has the fear of public speaking stalled your business or personal life? What would you give to develop and maintain supreme confidence? Have an invaluable private program to always perform at your best. Imagine how you would feel. You can have all that and so much more today with Thomas Hyde's life-changing course called Number One Fear Unleashed. Visit numberonefear.com and be liberated from your fear of public speaking.
Exonation, David Emmons is our special guest this hour. And David, with reference to this last story you told us about the two Japanese or two young gentlemen who appeared to be Japanese who came to your front door asking you directions to Walmart, how can we be for certain that this had anything to do with an encounter with hybrids?
Well, I was told, and I've got some pictures of this young lady, and I was told by several people, and I just contacted some experts, some PhDs, and these guys have had some hybrid experience, and they were telling me that this sounded and seemed like a hybrid situation where the kids from you, to follow up again, To make this connection here with the hybrid, like you asked the question, how do I know? I was in this room at the lodge, and I had a regressed dream. This regressed dream, it must have been apparently the same night that I met this Japanese
lady. All right, hold on. When you say you had a regressed dream, what is a regressed dream?
A regressed dream is a very vivid, lucid dream that you don't forget. And actually, in some of the dreams, you can actually communicate with the other party or the entity in the dream. Okay. And it's so real that you don't forget any of it. When you wake up in the morning from a normal dream, by 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, you forget most of it. You say, oh, I dreamed something really nice last night, and I forgot what it was. But these dreams, when you dream a regressed, lucid dream, they stick in your head. And they come out of nowhere where you have no idea. You can't make this stuff up. That's what your comments are when you have these regressed dreams. They're detailed in a manner that you can't make them up.
Well, isn't a dream a part of the human psyche's thought processing, where we do a lot of our purging of non-existent, non-essential material that we've gathered over the day? But also, can't dreams be manifested through emotional events during the day prior? So how do we know that this dream was anything else but a dream?
Okay, you're talking about having a dream that's got a seed planted. There's a seed, like you see a movie during the day.
Yes.
And that night you have a dream of something like that movie or whatever. That's a seed that's planted. With this dream, or any of the dreams that I've had regressed, I've had several other regressed dreams. These dreams are very real. And Dr. David Jacobs and others in the field of ufology, they study this. And they said that sometimes you'll get bits and pieces of these events that'll come back to your memory.
Okay, so let me...
only get...
All right, you mentioned Dr. David Jacobs. Did you actually talk to Dr. Jacobs?
Yes, one time at a convention, yes. And he told me that I told him about my abduction experience, and he says, you know, 50% of the people that are abducted, they don't really know it. He says sometimes they'll have dreams. They don't know where they come from, just like I was saying. They say the dreams come out a little bit at a time, and they're regressed, but a lot of them are suppressed in the memory. And these entities have ways of doing that, of erasing your memory, just like they did in that room. I kicked away a little hose that was going to my groin area, and I kicked it away. It was light tan in color, brown hose. I kicked it away, and then all of a sudden I was out. Somebody there was taking extraction of semen, whatever. And they walked me back and forth in a room, and they had this bright light. It's about 6 inches long. It looked like a fluorescent tube. They were running it up and down my face and in my eyes where it hurt. And in the dream, I felt that pain in the eyes. I felt that burning sensation of the light in this dream. That's why I say you can feel a regressed dream or a lucid dream. And I felt this light. And what they were doing, they were erasing my memory of that night. And I saw a silhouette of somebody sitting at the small table that was in the room. And somebody was walking me back and forth. When they were doing this light thing in my eyes and face, I thought that kind of strange. And I thought to myself, I've never seen anything like that. I don't know anything about that. You see what I'm saying, Rob, that I don't have any seeds planted, and I'm trying to figure out where all these details come from. They have to come from somewhere that's probably implanted in my mind, and they come out through a dream.
Okay, let me ask you this very basic question. Why you?
That's what I ask myself. Why me? My family, my mom, has had occurrences herself. When they were younger, they saw a UFO in the back of their yard. This was back in the early 50s or whatever, the late 40s. And they saw a flying saucer in the back of their yard. And my mom said that she has seen things, and she has actually she's 91. She's still living.
Right.
And part of my bloodline is Crow Indian.
But earlier you said that you told your mother that you saw a UFO, and she just kind of fluffed it off.
Wait a sec.
If your mother had seen a UFO, wouldn't she have been more interested in what you saw?
Yes, that's a question I should ask. But she told me in the past few years that she's had the tall, slender, I guess dark silhouettes, shadow people or something coming in and actually molesting her in the bed and stuff. She told me those stories. Those stories kind of coming out as she went along. But this might have been this UFO that come after. It could have been after when I saw mine. Her sisters and her saw this in the back of their mother's house. Whatever, is it an evening at some party some night?
But wait a sec. Hold on here. You said that your mother had their experience going back into the 40s, early
40s 50s. 40s or 50s, yeah.
So wait a sec. The timeline that you're giving us is getting a little jumbled here.
Okay, all right. That's earlier. That is earlier. The UFO that they saw was earlier. And it's a good question why she said, I'll kick you. She didn't say she didn't believe in UFOs. I didn't say that. She said, I'd kick your UFO butt. She didn't say she believed in them
But if my son or my daughter or any of my grandchildren came to me and said I saw something, I'd be very inquisitive.
Right. But it was late. She said, you get your UFO butt in the house. But, yeah, she did not think of it that way.
So I guess she thought that you were just wanting to make an excuse why you were coming into the house so late.
That's it. She thought I was in trouble, and she knew I thought I was in trouble, so I just had to make up some excuse.
Hmm.
But she had experiences throughout her life. And
how do you know?
A couple of my brothers have, too. So
how do you know your mother had all these experiences?
She told me. We sat down. She's the last 10, 15 years, she's been opening up and telling me these things ever since I've been involved in UFOs and everything. I'll tell you another experience we all had.
All right.
All right, this will go back to my mom again. In 2011, there was a huge triangular craft. It had two bright white lights in the back of it, and then in the front, it had like tubes hanging down. These were like glass-looking tubes that replaced the bright white light in front, and underneath there was a vent. It looked like a round circular vent with small slats in it. And it made a humming, hissing sound, and it crossed across the treetop across my road. And my mom lives four houses down from me at that time, is in Godfrey, and she saw it. And my two brothers that were visiting her, they saw it. And my mom said she was afraid to come out on the porch because she was afraid she was going to be abducted. Now, at that time, she was about 85, 86, and she's really sharp with her mind. She's still sharp to this day. She can tell you all the details, but she was afraid that she was going to be abducted. Then she's made some comments that kind of weird that I pick up on. She said there is no time out there, and that's kind of weird for an elderly woman to think that way. She said there is no time out there in space. And that's true. I mean, there's probably different timing. They show it all the time that scientists talk about time travel and all this other crap. but she's pretty sharp about things, and she actually said there was the newsreels or the news people around town in Alton would tell people they had this UFO scare back in the 50s, and they told people not to venture out, or if one of these things come down, don't get near it. She told me those stories. And those stories happened in the 50s.
Well, wait a second. Now, wait a second. As somebody who has interest in UFOs, did you actually authenticate what your mother was saying?
I didn't do that, no.
So
I've seen some newsreels, some mm-hmm. documentaries of these UFOs in earlier times. But I could probably go back in a newspaper and get these documented or something. I could go through the archives.
But as a UFO researcher or somebody who's interested in UFOs, wouldn't that be one of the first things that you would do is authenticate or vet the information that you're getting?
Well, I get the information that I've been through. I'm trying to research and investigate all the things that's happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what I do is I look at what happened to me. I try to investigate it on my own. I even went back to the same room and took pictures of that one room I was in just to see the feel and get the feel of it. But no, it's those things did happen. I've heard them on newsreels.
All right, now hold on here. We have to take our final break. Exo Nation, David Emmons is our guest this hour. And if you'd like to send me an email, tell me whether you're a skeptic or a believer, exxon@exxonradiotv.com. And I'll be back on the other side of this break as we wrap up this hour here in the Exxon from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away.
Carl O'Helvey, founder president of a new cancer foundation focusing on evidence-based physical, mental, and spiritual interventions, including natural cancer cures, prayer, meditation, affirmations, nutrition, and other related holistic cancer prevention and cure modalities. These are used in cancer education, research, and financing care. I ask for your help to continue this important work by donating at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com.
They are here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Ellie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net.
Christopher Fulton is a survivor of the national security state. All he wanted to do was preserve history when he acquired a Cartier watch from the estate of President Kennedy's personal secretary. But that simple act set off a terrible chain reaction. He was pursued by the U.S. Justice Department and the FBI, thrust into the middle of the U.S. government's Assassination Records Review Board, even monitored and pursued by the Russian government. All because that Cartier watch was the missing link of evidence, a timepiece worn by JFK that fateful day in Dallas, a link resulting in Christopher being incarcerated and attacked for 9 years records because he opened a hidden chapter in history. The intriguing journey outlined fully in Christopher Fulton's memoir, The Inheritance, is available now through Trinday.com or Amazon.com. The Inheritance, Poisoned Fruit of JFK's Assassination by Christopher and Michelle Fulton is a must-read, an incredible tale of how easily our own government can overrule justice. The Inheritance, Poisoned Fruit of JFK's Assassination.
Welcome back, everyone. David Emmons is our guest this hour. And David, you started your first UFO encounter, I understand, going back to the age of 14. Why did you only decide now to write a book?
Well, I've got time now. I'm retired, and I've been getting involved in, and my biggest years for some of these events were 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2012. And my wife and I moved to Alaska for a couple of years, and then we've been back here now for a couple of years. And so I decided I'm going to put these things together, and I've been talking. I've done some AM radio in town here back in 2010, 2011, and I've talked to people about UFOs, but it didn't intensify until 2009 through 2012. And that's what brought to my attention that I should be doing something. So I got a ledger. You were talking about I investigate or research. I've got a ledger that's 250-plus pages. And this is mostly of my experiences, not others' experiences. And I remember my mom's experiences. She talked about the 50s.
Sure.
And, but that jumped around a little bit. I don't want to seem, you know, not authentic, but That happened in the 50s where my mom was scared and her family was scared about the UFOs. And then they saw one in the backyard of their mom's house. But, yes, she didn't say she didn't believe. I want to get back to that to make that square away. She didn't say she didn't believe in UFOs. That was just my part saying that was an excuse. And she thought it was a flimsy excuse. But, no, when she saw the big triangle, she was afraid that they was going to abduct her, and we all four saw this triangle. It was about seven houses long or wide, and I was right under it, and it made this hissing kind of a buzzing sound, real light, and it was dark underneath, like dark metallic gray metal, and it had one little red light near the back of it, and then it had two bright lights, and the glass globes hanging down, in which I found strange because nobody's ever mentioned that before. And I saw those two glass globes hanging down. And my brothers, they said they saw it.
I was just going to ask you, after having this experience with you and your family, the four of you seeing this, were there any reports of this sighting that were made by anyone to any media in your area?
No, I called the sheriff's department twice. I called them that night, and I called them the next day to see if anybody else spotted this huge craft flying that low. And they said, no, they haven't had any sightings of that kind. I guess you think I'm crazy. And this dispatcher said, no, we don't think you're crazy. Our officers have seen things too.
All right. So, did any of the neighbors see this craft as well?
No, actually the gal next door, her and her husband, they didn't see that craft that night, but a month later she saw it on a country road about 3 or 4 miles from our location. She saw a large triangle craft. She didn't tell me for 2 months because she was afraid of telling me. I said, why? She said, well, in our backyard, in which I was right next to them, I lived right in between, I guess, two neighbors, you'd say, and they lived on my west side, and they said they heard a hissing and buzzing sound in their backyard, and they said they saw lights and they felt vibrations, but they were too afraid to look out the window. They actually crawled under their beds. She told me this. I said, why'd you do that? You should have looked outside. Then my neighbor next to me on the east side of me, he told me he got up one morning about 1:30 and he looked out his bathroom window. He saw a cone-shaped light in my backyard. And he said he stood there and looked at it for a little while, and he said he couldn't believe what that was. And then he told me, I guess a few days later, that he saw that cone-shaped light in my backyard. Then my brother-in-law and sister and my mom saw a man in black standing in the right behind my yard with a wind blowing and a storm coming up. I didn't see this. They saw it. My brother-in-law is very skeptic, but he admitted to me, he said, yeah, I saw it. A tall guy with a long black coat and a black hat standing right out in the field right behind my house. And I thought, wow. And my mom said, yes, I saw it too. And so they have seen things around my house to actually, you know, fortify some of the things that I say and do. And I had a friend that stayed in my house after a convention in Eureka Springs, and he stayed in a spare bedroom, and he didn't tell me till 2 months later because he was afraid he was going to scare me. He said he felt something brush up against his legs and his feet. He said it was solid. He said he got up and looked. He said he couldn't see nothing. And he was a ghost hunter. He did that for years, but he said that was no ghost. So an Oxford professor says that aliens can be invisible. And that's probably where the poltergeist thing, maybe the ghost thing, is coming from.
Which Oxford professor?
I can't name him. I forgot his name.
Oh, I see.
It was real quick. I got the story. It was on the it was on an internet I guess site, and he was an Asian guy, and he was I know that I saw the picture of him, and he said that that aliens are invisible. And, of course, a lot of his academic friends are frowning on that. So I guess the story didn't get out too much. He had too much pressure on him. But I believe that, too. I believe that they're invisible because we got time for this one abduction that was very kind of terrifying, even for me, that I've been through. But it was one afternoon. It was 1:30 in the afternoon, and the sun was... It was out, and bedroom door was open. I went in and stretched my back because I got a bad back, and I stretched it. And I was laying there looking up out the door with on my elbow, and I turned around, and then all of a sudden I heard this really loud, static shock. It made all kinds of noises next to my bed. I turned to see what it was, and it hit me in the shoulders, the shock did, and when it did, it immobilized me. And I was just stiff, and I tried to move again, and it hit me again. And so I decided I better lay here. This thing's going to electrocute me. I had my hand in the air, and believe it or not, I heard my sister's voice from the hallway saying, come on, Dave, you can do it, you can do it. She's been dead for 4 years, and I heard her voice saying that. And then I felt a hand, a baby's hand, above my fingers where I had my hand in the air against the headboard. I felt this baby's hand, and I pulled down on the fingers and on the palm. I said, oh, my, what is this supposed to be? I was getting a little scared at that point. Then something sat down beside me that was really solid. Whatever was holding the baby sat down beside me, and I felt it up against my hips. And then that's when I jumped out of that bed, and I said, my God, what is going on here? And it was all over with. It was gone. So, and I was awake. I was very, very much awake. I wasn't asleep.
Right.
So that was a conscious awareness on that one. So that was an abduction. I talked to Dr. Jacobs about that too. And he said, well, you thought you might have gotten out of that abduction. He said, but you didn't. He said, they were done with you. You were coming back. I said, wow, that's a nice note. So I thought maybe I was getting out of it. But
have you, besides David Jacobson, do you have any medical collaborating evidence to any of the sightings or any of the abductions that you've had?
I've got a implant that I got in a little bag that I kept it, and I dug it out of my left calf, and there was a little red hole there, and it itched, and I scratched it with my finger.
Yeah.
And up pops a little blood, and I took a napkin and I dabbed it, and I pulled out this dark, looked like a piece of charcoal like, and I put it in a bag right away because I figured it was an implant of some kind, and that happened after the 2011 meeting with the hybrid.
Yeah, I mean, have you gone to a bona fide medical doctor or hospital or clinic after you have been abducted to see if there is any trace evidence that could support the claims that you're making.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, Rob. I wouldn't know who to go around here. They just look at you and say you're crazy.
So basically what you're telling me is you have no proof.
There's no real proof I have proof with the sightings that I've had and the hybrid coming to my house that day with my cousin. I've got witnesses on half of my stuff, but the other half, like the abduction, no, I don't have any witnesses. I don't have any proof on that. It's just something that fits in the scope of things for me. I'll take a polygraph test on that for a fact. I know that these things are real.
You see, the worst part about a polygraph test is if the person who is being tested really believes that something had happened, they pass the polygraph test. Polygraph tests are not foolproof. That's why they're not accepted in court.
Yeah, that's what Travis Walton and them had polygraphs, and I guess the media accepted that.
Well, that's the media. Listen, I hate to do this, but you and I have to say so long for today. The gentleman certainly has a lot of stories to tell, but as we've also seen, when it comes to evidence, zip, zowie, none. And something I find very strange is that when I asked him, the reason I asked him to tell me about himself, I wanted to see what he would omit from the bio that he sent us. And he forgot to mention something that I would say is very important, that he claims that from 1968 to 1971, he was a top secret nuclear weapons trainee. But he didn't. I brought it up. We'll be back on the other side of this break as we continue here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Oh, well, X-Zone Nation, in my opinion, another one bit the dust. Don't go away. If you are looking for a safe, zero-calorie, natural option to the harmful artificial sweeteners on the market today, Just Like Sugar is what you're looking for. Just Like Sugar is a wonderful natural alternative for those health-conscious people who choose a calorie-restricted diet with a great, pure, sweet flavor that tastes just like sugar. Just Like Sugar is a great natural option for people suffering from diabetes and may be useful in restricted diet programs where standard sugars are not allowed and does not cause a laxative effect of some other sweeteners. Just Like Sugar comprises a perfect blend of chicory root fiber, natural calcium, natural vitamin C, and Just Like Sugar sweetness comes from the natural flavors from the peel of the orange. Just Like Sugar is a natural alternative to harmful artificial sweeteners and will change the way that you believe all natural sweetener products taste. Just Like Sugar is available at your local Whole Foods markets, Wild Oats markets, Henry's, Sun Harvest, and many other fine natural food stores in the U.S., Canada, and worldwide. They are here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Elie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net.
You have heard of the X-Zone? Now watch it on Simo TV, plus 500 video games, live TV channels, free video on demand, worldwide, and more. Does this sound like tomorrow's television? Well, it is, but you can have it today, right now. It is Simul TV. Simul TV offers what the others only wish they could provide. 15 exclusive channels like X-Zone, Sci-Fi, and Horror. We are worldwide. No other provider offers that. 500 built-in video games. No need to have an extra expensive system. We have them included. Free video on demand, live streaming events from around the world, interactive online network, and much more. Tomorrow's TV today. Simul TV. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. You can have Simul TV today. Sign up at simultv.com. Do it today.